Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
Buffington, the Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 225, the Thanksgiving edition.
Thanksgiving edition.
We will talk a little bit about Turkey Day and some fun stories from the past. Let's do a quick rundown to some news. Obviously, Sonny Gray traded to the Red Sox for Dick Fitz.
Dick Fitz.
The Dick Fitz.
The most interesting part of that side of the trade is that it is his name, right?
Yeah. You get those stupid giggles of adolescence when you have to say it. But I guess Dick is a better fit in St. Louis.
I remember we did a whole episode on names and Dick Fitz. I think it was because of Dick Fitz.
I think it was. So let's start with that, since it's the biggest news. I mean, I was consuming so much sports radio in Boston after the trade, and I know all the nuances of it. I know St. Louis is sending $20 million, so you get this guy for $15 million and then a team option for a second year.
Which is key, right?
That's if you want to keep him and pay him. You know, I think for me, the key is it, if this is the pitching acquisition of the offseason, it's not a good story.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's the key acquisition.
But you don't know. I mean, my point is, if your goal is to win a World Series, you need more than adding Sonny Gray to that rotation.
Well, the good thing is he is, it's really a 1-year commitment to him, right?
Correct.
And at the same time,
at a pretty low price.
And he's also at the back end of his career because he is 36, right? 36 are going to turn 37. So I would expect that the Red Sox aren't going to have anything committed to him after an option here. And I don't think he's going to get anything from another team after an option.
But he's not a top of the rotation starter.
Not at all. Especially not now. And he was played in New York. He struggled in New York and he's been around, he's bounced around, but he's always performed. He performed probably the best of his career during his A's tenure, which the teams, you know, they were mediocre at best. They did their runs here and there, but that was probably the best of his career during the A's.
So, I mean, you think it's a good acquisition, but my point is that better not be the only one.
No, I don't think it's the only one. I think it's a good point, Brian, but I think it's a great acquisition because I look at the dollars now. You know, a lot of it is, you know, what are you getting in return for what you're spending? And they're not spending much, and they're getting a number three starter in return. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And they're not giving up much. So I like it. I like it for the Red Sox.
All right, so then we go to the Yankees where—
Oh, God, rolling the dice and it all fell off the table.
Well, the thing is that's where you get this tender thing because— You want to preserve the draft pick, right? But
right.
You can also it can not backfire necessarily, but you can end up with the player back at a number you don't really want to pay.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Talk about tell people what the Trent Grisham deal is.
So basically, how it works is, you know, the teams have an opportunity to offer players non-tender, not non-tender contract, but like a
qualifying offer.
And if you offer a player a qualifying offer, then if they don't take it and they go out to the free agent market and they sign, you get a draft pick. Some teams it's another first round pick. Some teams it's a first and a second round pick. Some teams it's a first and a compensated pick based on how you finished.
That's a pretty good pick.
It's a good thing to have, right? So what teams will do is they'll know, they'll like Kyle Tucker. So they automatically are going to offer him because they know Kyle Tucker is going to free agency guaranteed because he's looking for a big deal. So basically what you're doing is on the middle tier guys, you're rolling the dice. And for the Yankees, it kind of backfired on them. Actually, it totally backfired on them because they offered Trent Grisham a qualifying offer, which I believe was like $22 million.
Yeah, exactly. 22.
And that's like, it's a going rate kind of thing, right? Based on, I think, service time and that kind of stuff and what you were making previous and arbitration numbers and all that. So the thought was, is that you would offer him $22 million for 1 year and he would say no, coming off a 36 home run season or whatever, 33 home run season that he did. Best of his career, and probably get something bigger in the open market. And I think, you know, Trent Grisham agent, knowing that Trent Grisham at the best would probably get maybe a 2-year deal with an option at maybe $25 million and then an option on the back end, was probably like, you know what, you want to stick with a team that has a chance to win and knows, you know, that what you can do, this is a smart deal. Take it. Take the 22 guaranteed.
Here's my question back to you, because you guys were like, oh God, it's backfired, blah, blah, blah. But like, if a guy's hitting 30 plus home runs, why wouldn't you want him?
Because it's the only time he's done it, right? And there's a lot of different factors involved in it, where he was batting in the lineup and, you know, getting pitched to and Yankee Stadium. He has been a total underachiever his whole career. Now, he's relatively young, given the fact, because he came up early, but he has not ever really performed to his potential. So you look at it where you... These teams are not going to want to get burned by these players on big contracts on one-year performers. They're taking the gambles on the guys that are very young, that are huge prospects, right, and giving them money. Teams are not going to go out there and give, let's say, Chris Davis, remember with the Orioles, where he hit 40-something home runs, and you give him a 6-year deal based on that, and it was a total flop. It worked for a couple of years, but it was a total flop. Teams aren't going to do that anymore.
What if he has a good year?
But so you win, right? You win, and then he goes out to free agency, and maybe someone will give it. But you have to show your value, especially at this time of your career, especially where he is in his career. And he hasn't done that. And I don't think any team was going to give him a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that's why they took it.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with, what's his name, Trevor Story. I mean, he picked up his option because he wouldn't have made more money elsewhere. It's pretty simple.
And you know, the Yankees are going to pay him $22 million next year. Now, that's a huge hit to the Yankees because now that's way less flexibility to either go after a 1-year contract or a 2-year contract or a longer-term contract. Yeah. And that's also a huge hit on the salary cap stuff. Not salary cap, but the competitive balance
tax. Yeah, and the taxation, which they want to get. I mean, Hal said he wants to get under the threshold if he can.
So it's going
to
be very interesting going forward. Like we said, Brian, you know, what are we looking at going forward with free agency? How are the Yankees going to pursue that? I mean, I don't see the Yankees needing pitching with Cole and Schmidt coming back. Cole sooner than Schmidt next year, and the pitching they already have, as long as he's healthy. I don't really think they need to be going crazy.
They don't need pitching at all.
No. Maybe you can always have more pitching, right? And I think we can talk about this a little bit later, a little bit more, like, you know, some trade scenarios. But you know, the Yankees do need a bat. They need an outfielder, be it Bellinger or be it Tucker or be it a trade. And they need another, I would say, a second baseman or a shortstop or a third baseman, because those guys are not performing up to snuff.
So in the Billy Bean approach, you gravitate to where there's actually value. And the argument the Red Sox are making is that the most value in player acquisitions right now is via trade.
Absolutely. 1,000%. I could not agree more.
And so I think that's what the Red Sox are pursuing, what they did with Sonny Gray. And what's interesting about pitching, you know, because you have Schlittler too. I mean, you have like potentially the best rotation in baseball.
You potentially have like 8 starters.
Right. So maybe you trade somebody.
Yeah, but I think if you look for the last 2 seasons being burned in 2024 by the Dodgers and looking at what the Dodgers did in 2025, you don't get rid of pitching. You do not get rid of pitching unless it's lower level prospects that you know aren't ready to be in the majors.
But with the budget, it might be the only way to get a good bat.
True. And I think, you know, when you look and we say trade, I think what the Yankees need to do is they need to go out and they need to reinvent the blockbuster. They need to bring back what Soto was in 2023 or what A-Rod was. Or, you know, they need to go out. And I said this in our text string. The Yankees should strike at teams that are fiscally not sound, like the Padres. Go after someone like Fernando Tatis. And
by the way, he's cheap now.
He's cheap, making $20 million the next two seasons. Now, granted, now he's signed through, I think, 2034. He's got eight more years and like $200 million roughly on his contract. Now, you can say that's a great deal. It's an awesome deal. But for a team that is looking to probably sell itself, drop payroll, and has a bunch of prospects. Now, granted, they did trade away a couple lower-level prospects to get Mason Miller, but they have a lot of good young players, not the Bogarts. You know, Cronenworth is still relatively young, but they do have older players like a Yu Darvish that they could get rid of and trade, and maybe, you know, the Yankees should get creative, and I think they should try. I say it, and I say it, and I say it. They need to get rid of Stanton. Stanton has two more years left at about, I think it's like 30-something million he's owed by the team because the Marlins owe him some money, like $20 million.
Well, they have to eat a good portion of
that. Well, no, not necessarily, Brian, because Yu Darvish has like like 50-something million over the next 3 years, and he's not going to pitch next year at all because he's Tommy John surgery. So you're saying
do a salary swap?
Do a salary swap.
That doesn't happen in baseball
very
often.
Well, you could do a player swap and kind of figure out the numbers, but then you could also send some prospects their way, maybe like a Spencer Jones or these Yankee prospects, maybe even like a Jason Dominguez, and get a player like Fernando Tatis Jr. back. And you know what? Throw him right in center field. I know he's a platinum glove right fielder, but Aaron Judge isn't moving until you can free up more DH. If you get rid of Stanton, you free up some DH. Fernando Tatis Jr. could probably play shortstop still. He's 26 years old. He's an awesome player. But that's what I'm saying is you got to get creative. And if that's where you can do it on that trade market, like you said, Brian, that's where it is. You don't need to go out and spend $500, $600 million on a Kyle Tucker for the next 13 years or 12 years when you could try away a player. I'm just using Tatis as an example.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But it would be a great trade for the Yankees if they could do it. And they got to get creative. You know, like Cashman's supposedly this wizard. Well, this Trent Grisham thing completely backfired on you. So you need to dig in, figure it out, and do something.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 225, the Thanksgiving edition. What are you guys doing on Thanksgiving?
Doing the same thing we do all the time. We go up to my wife's sister's house. You know, like the kids get to see I get to see my nephews. And
where is it?
It's in outside of Albany. In Albany area.
2 hours or?
It's like an hour and 45. We've been going up there forever. It's great. You know, they're awesome people. We have a good time.
Sit down. One turkey in the oven type thing.
Yeah, it's a whole day thing. You go up there. And I mean, I don't do anything. That's why I like, you know, because like my whole life is like chaos and maintaining and stuff. And I don't have to do that. They basically take care of everything, and it's the size of it has shrunken over the years as far as how many people come. But it's a great time. The food is always good, and like, you know, my kids, their cousins are basically the same age, so everybody gets along, and there's a lot of them, and you know, we've been really close to them for a long time. So it's
backyard football in it.
If the weather warrants, something always goes on. You know, kids are always outside doing something. They have a huge piece of property. They have a pond. They actually have a batting cage and stuff. So it's like there's always something to do there. But it's fun, Brian. Like sometimes, you know, everyone talks about tradition and all that. Sometimes it's just good to just slow it down and sit around and just, you know, everyone watches football and all that, and
Is it weird not that you don't drink anymore? Is it weird? Because I feel like it's such a consumption holiday.
No, I don't. That's like, I'm coming up on 5 years now, so it's like it's so worn off for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not even a thought now.
For me, like I grew up in a house where we had the one turkey in the oven. We did it with another family, and I'll talk about it when we get a little anecdotal. And I sort of liked it because like there was one conversation, and it was sometimes boring and sometimes awkward, but also sometimes really bananas. Now we go to my wife's sister's, who's a beautiful home in Milton, Massachusetts. My brother-in-law, who's a total
Milton's hick, very nice area.
It's really nice. My brother-in-law's a hick from Northern California, and he wants to fry turkeys for the last 10 plus years. My wife has two sisters. Everyone in the family brings their own turkey. Plus, they put one in the oven too, and we fry like four turkeys. And the guys, we started just staying outside frying the turkeys and drinking and hanging out. And the kids would run around and do whatever, and it was so fun because we didn't have to deal with all the garbage inside.
Right.
But then everyone inside realized how much more fun it was outside. Now everybody comes outside.
Right. It ruined your secret.
Yeah. So we have like 35 people now because it's a really fun Thanksgiving. So it's kind of jumped the shark, but it's very like buffet oriented, and then everyone just collapses on the couch and watches football. And you know, historically it's a lot of fun because if the weather's okay, it's just fun to be outside and just shooting the breeze and stuff like that. So
I don't remember a lot of times when there was snow on Thanksgiving. I remember a few times when I was younger. I used to go to my aunt and uncle's house outside of Rochester. But you brought up frying a turkey, like underrated frying a turkey, right? Like
very underrated. Multiple levels.
Multiple levels, because you get the videos where they're burning everything and it's all blowing up, so you don't get to see that when it's coming out of the oven usually.
No.
And at the same time, it is very freaking good.
It tastes really good.
It's very good. I did it once. I can't remember if it was during the pandemic and we didn't go somewhere, or we just tried it. Something didn't work out, and I did it once, and it was very good. But, boy, I had it one time. I went when I was working in the news, and I was very early on, and I was doing
– John was a news photographer for many, many years.
Yeah, and I was doing a Thanksgiving morning thing, and I was in the hood of Rochester, and they were doing, like, Thanksgiving servings, you know, and it was put on by, like, a church. And they were frying the turkeys. And I'm telling you, dude, oh my God. That was probably the best turkey I've ever had in my life.
It's so good. Same. In the skin and whatever. But it's also the multiple levels. For me, it's just the process, because then you got to wait like X amount of minutes per pound. So you're just hanging out.
Yeah.
And you have more conversations and catch up time with people you actually want to hang out with. And then you just have mobility and options. And, you know, for me, you know, you're right about the snow, because I remember I grew up in Swampscott, Massachusetts. Swampscott Marblehead is one of the oldest rivalries in the country and in Massachusetts, and the whole town would go. And there'd be like fights and the thing, and everything was crazy. And I remember snow games, tons of snow games. It was 10 a.m. game, and we come home, and we had a lot of Thanksgivings with our friends, the Braun's, and Dr. Braun. I was the youngest in my family, and I was a gullible chatterbox. And so he, every year, would make me sit next to him, and he would, and I look back, and he'd pepper me with personal questions about the family, and he'd get me to talk about crap my parents didn't want to talk about. And I would totally divulge like family secrets.
Holy Dr. Braun.
Yeah, he was
mind games.
He was
Dr.
clinical.
Braun.
Oh, man. So I developed this reputation for, you know, being loose-lipped about all this crap in my family, and it became a joke. But like almost every time, like he could get me to say stuff that my mom and dad did not want me to talk about. And it was just, it was a funny tradition. But I have a tough time sometimes with the buffet style. But at the same time, you know, you're never going to go back to your family. I lost the battle, so we don't see my family till Friday. But
you'll be one of the 477 zillion that are traveling this holiday season, right, today?
So tomorrow, on Thanksgiving morning, I do live broadcast from the Manchester Road Race with 12,000 people.
Right.
And then I run the race. My family's already going to be in Boston.
And then you cut out right after.
Yep. And then I just jump in the car, drive to Milton, take a shower there, and then I'm off to the races.
So I will be driving to Newark, New Jersey airport today at 4 o'clock. And then I will be driving back after that. I'm going down there to shoot a
Do you know
ride.
A lot of divas in your life, by the way?
Has one just arrived?
Yes. Yes.
Hello, diva.
Mid-recording. So we are recording our podcast, Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Probably the most listened to podcast in the northeastern part of the country. Christine Lee from 96.5 TICFM walks in a puffy coat like she owns the place. We're out of here.
We are.
Have a great holiday. I appreciate you. And I can't wait for episode 226. And we're going to have some guests lined up for our hot stove, which we're super excited about. Probably get into that in earnest after Christmas. But we'll see how the news flow goes. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.